When the news got back in Athens about the victory, there was first just absolute rejoicing. But the Athenians were extremely angered about the losses of those survivors and the failure to pick up the dead for proper burial. And if one wants to get an idea of that importance, simply read the play of Sophocles on Antigone, which is a whole issue on the necessity of releasing the soul of the deceased after death. In any case, the Athenian assembly was in an absolutely heightened state of excitement, and the generals agreed to simply put the blame on the storm. They issued their initial communique. They knew they were going to face charges, and two of the generals, Aristogenes and Protomachus, decided maybe exile was a better option. The other six returned to Athens to face an absolutely enraged assembly. Thrasybulus and Thrasymedes, who were the triarchs, who were charged with the picking up of the dead, were fearful that the generals might throw the blame on them. And there is some evidence to suggest that Thrasymedes, and this is how he got his unsavory reputation, may have encouraged the survivors' relatives to demand action. And it climaxed in a very heated assembly in October of 406 BC, in which the assembly passed an unconstitutional rule, putting all six generals on trial together, giving them insufficient time to explain themselves. Those who, Eurypthalamus was the man who headed the opposition, those who tried to invoke the graphe paranomen were shouted down. Socrates was one of the prytanes. He objected to it. He was shouted down. And the assembly went ahead, tried these six men, and executed them summarily. It was a major tactical blunder because they were experienced generals, but above all, the assembly very quickly came to regret its action. And it is not one of the better days of the Athenian assembly, and it is, and one would wish we had Thucydides' account of exactly what had happened. In any case, the Athenians in 405 BC were in a position to still launch the ships, but the Spartans themselves had recovered. The Spartans offered a peace negotiation. It was rejected. The Athenians wanted those areas back in Ionia. They would not negotiate unless those allies were surrendered by Sparta, and the Spartans wouldn't go back on their oaths. And in 405 BC, the Spartans had no choice but to go back to Cyrus and request money, and the only person who could do that for them was Lysander, and he knew it. Lysander could not hold the position of Navarch, but the Spartans came up with a solution. They appointed him epistoleus, that is, secretary to the Navarch. And for the next 2 years, Lysander held that position and essentially negotiated on behalf of the Spartan government with Cyrus. Lysander quickly rebuilt the Spartan fleet. And in the summer of 405 BC, he sailed that fleet to the Hellespont. And at a place known as Aegis Potami, he managed to surprise and capture the Athenian fleet on the beaches. And the reason for this Athenian defeat was, well, first, the Athenian generals themselves were extremely timid. They had taken up a position that was some 12 miles north of Sestos, whereas Lysander was concentrated at Abydos. It was not a particularly good base. They were hesitant to engage the Spartans. They got careless. And Lysander managed to surprise him on the beach unexpectedly and capture the fleet. Alcibiades was in the vicinity and actually came to the Athenian generals and told them that they should remove their base and that he would be willing to offer his tactical genius. None of these generals wanted to have Alcibiades along, assuming that he would upstage him. They were also very conscious of the fact that if they made any mistake, they could be put on trial back in Athens, just like the generals had been who had won the Battle of Arginusae. And so as a result, the Athenians grew lax. Lysander surprised the fleet, and he captured something like 179 triremes. Numerous Athenian prisoners were taken. And in the fall of 405 BC, by a spectacular naval battle, the war was essentially ended. Lysander occupied the grain route, the Hellespont. He then moved through the cities of the Aegean, raising rebellions among various oligarchic factions, installing garrisons headed up by men known as harmost or governors, and imposing in many of the allied Athenian cities tight-knit oligarchies of 10 men, decarchs as they're called, and created what are known as decarchies or a rule of 10. Lysander, who had a sense of knowing how to use terror as well as a pragmatic approach towards dealing with cities, drove many of the Athenian survivors and colonists and clerics back to Athens. So the city, by the spring of 404 BC, was swollen with refugees. The city was under siege by land by King Agis II. And as Lysander prepared to move his fleet against Athens, the Athenians really had no choice but to surrender. The terms were negotiated by Theramenes, and he hoped that he could at least gain the sparing of his city and the chance of the city to live under its traditional constitution, the Patria Politeia, which many Athenians took as a democracy. In any case, the Athenians were not in much a position to negotiate, and in the spring of 404 BC, Athens finally surrendered. The grain route had been cut, the city was swollen with refugees, and Lysander was the man who received the Athenian surrender, and now he thought himself as the man who would impose the Spartan settlement. And that will be the subject of the next lecture.